Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 431. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please let us know whether you'd like a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, including postage and handling. We have some strong Christian material for you this evening from the Holy Bible, the Word of God. The infallible Word of God, as a matter of fact. We have some testimonies. We've got some very good songs pertaining to the end times. Right now, let's go to the throne and a Bible message that won't quit. It just won't quit unless you quit. And if you quit, well, then there's no possible way for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we're here to try to encourage you to continue on in the gospel field to the end so that your soul may be saved, because only those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask you, Father God, to anoint this program. Lord, anoint the program. Open the hearts and souls of those not in the body, in your church, the true church, the one and only church, which is your body, your bride, the New Jerusalem. And also open the hearts of those that think they're on the right track, Father, but they're not. And let them not be offended with the truth, because in the last days you stated that many shall be offended and shall betray one another. Lord, we know that if they do that, they are the same as blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Open the windows of heaven, Father God, and let souls be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
And I was quoting this. It says, and at the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 10, it says, and then shall many be offended. You know, you can't really trust mankind, because where man's love stops, you have to just turn all your faith in God. Because when man's faith stops, or love stops, then God begins. And it says that these men, all the people in this world, many shall be offended and shall betray one another. It would take me hours to show you all the different people, to tell of all the different people that have betrayed myself and many others that I know. They have given false testimony about myself. I'm not the only one. Many people for hundreds of years have been betrayed. That's how we know that this is the end time. And it says that, and they shall hate one another. Well, the Bible says if you hate your brother, that the love of God is not in you, that the hatred that you have is the same thing as murder. And many false prophets shall rise, so and shall deceive many people. The way they deceive is they believe, they're afraid of the Antichrist, the beast, that the book of Revelation tells of, and chapter 24 here tells of. And the false prophet, which is the Roman Catholic cult, and they control that red beast, which is the world government mentioned. It's the abomination that maketh desolate that's mentioned in the book of Daniel. It's the fourth world kingdom run by Satan, whose seat is in Rome, Italy. And I'll tell you, we're really in the end times, folks. You know, you should just discard all the garbage you're hearing. They're saying so many evil things about the people that really are of the Lord, and they're exalting Rome. Because the media is Rome's voice. This is Satan's voice. This is the big combo. The false prophet, which is Rome, Roman Catholic cult, and all its affiliates throughout the world. Because a lot of people believe that it's powerful when it's nothing but three frog-like spirits. And then the beast, which is the world government. The Bible says that God's word Jesus, who we have Jesus in us, and we preach the word, and this is smashing that fourth kingdom very hard. And if you just preach the gospel, Jesus, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, head will be for you and not against you, and will move for you, and will uproot that satanic force. And the voice of Satan is the media. And the media consists of not only television, but a lot of radio, not all TV, but most television, the super TV programs, and also magazines and books and recordings and every kind of false prophet, professors, school teachers. They're all part of the one world government, the false prophet, its beast, and the media. So now it says that many shall, it says, be not deceived. So he says that we Christians, the true Christians, not Catholics, but Christians, shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, what is the name of Jesus? His name is the Word of God. Because we preach the Word of God, people hate us because we tell homosexuals that if they don't repent, the lesbians, if they don't repent, the adulterers, the fornicators. Many women right now are pregnant with babies that they received into them by committing fornication and adultery. And one of them we know has got the baby in her, has got a big tumor in his head and is about ready to die. She was just flown to a hospital. And, I mean, what do you expect when you defy God and do the things that he tells you not to do? Where man's love stops is where God's begin. This is a song that I sang. It was arranged and produced by Gary Paxton. And so here I am to sing for you, Where Man's Love Stops. So, and man's love has stopped. They're betraying one another. So just reach out to Jesus, to the living God, His Son, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be fine, okay? Claim they'll be true, but they're not.
Then they'll become like a leaf in the wind. Where man's love stops is where God's begins. Man will build you dreams you can't count on.
They give you a good bunch of glitter there with their speech. All that glitters is not gold, folks. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, yes. They'll, you know, fill you full of glitter. They give you a big old smile. And, men will give women smiles and lead them on. And then it's like this one girl, he used her and now she's pregnant and he just left her. So when people grow lukewarm, the Bible says, Revelation 3:16, so then because thou art lukewarm, he's talking to Christians now, and neither cold nor hot, Jesus said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He's talking to Christians. So those of you that believe you're once saved, always saved, that isn't what Jesus is saying. Amen?
Amen?
He says he'll spit you out of his body, and you have to be part of the body of Christ if you're going to be in heaven. You must have been in his body in order for him to spit you out. Spit has to be in your body in order for you to spit it out. And if you're just a goober, well, then the Lord doesn't want you in there. He just spits you out. All right?
Amen.
Now, Revelation 3:5 states, he that overcome, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. Only if you overcome those. Now, just follow with me here. Shall be clothed in white raiment. In other words, white clothing. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Well, your name must have been in there in the first place for him to have to blot it out. Amen?
Amen.
So this doctrine of all these false churches, the false prophets, is a lie. This is coming right straight out of the Bible, Revelation 3:5. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before my Father's angels. Amen?
Amen.
Now then, Revelation 22:19 states, now if any man, he's talking about Christians here, shall take anything, take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now how could he take you out of the book of life if you weren't there in the first place?
Amen.
But what you've done is taken on the doctrine of the devil, and you've left the true word of God, and you've gone for these new versions of the Bible, which are a lie. There is no such thing in the Bible as once saved, always saved, unless you continue on in the actual word of God. There isn't anything but the word of God that's going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. False doctrine has no power or virtue to get you into heaven. So he says, anyone that takes away from this book of prophecy, God himself shall take away your part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city you will not be in the kingdom of heaven, and from the things which are written in this book. That's Revelation 22:19. Now you may hate me for telling you the truth, but how have I harmed you by telling you the truth? And I'm very willing to be hated because I want to preach the word of God and I want to go to the kingdom of heaven. So it doesn't make any difference whether you hate me or not. I fear God billions of times more than I fear the entire human population. And I want you to know that. And right now we also have some testimonials. Now remember, there's no such thing as once saved, always saved, unless you continue on in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not these fake Bibles. They have no virtue of power in fallacy. Only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Bible is Christ, he's the word of God, is able to give you the strength to be able to endure to the end. Okay, we have some testimonials. Where's the first one from?
From Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Pastor Tony, hello and thank you for the most recent newsletter, The Tree, which I have never seen before, and for The Looking Glass, and That's What It's All About, Bessie. I'm so happy to hear from you. Please keep me on your mail list to receive all of your literature. God sure made his point in The Tree. No matter how strong or big you are, if you don't have roots in Jesus Christ, then you are doomed. That is a very strong point in our lives. Please send me a few more copies of The Tree. I hope God allows you to continue spreading the gospel and to continue fighting the good fight against the evil one, Satan. May God's church, which is the Olamo Church, stand until the end of time. Thanks so very much for the literature you sent. Signed, M. Malone from Nashville, Tennessee.
Malone?
Malone.
Yeah, how do you spell it?
M-I-L-H-O-M-M-E.
Okay, praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Then what else?
From Nigeria, Africa. Dear Beloved, Calvary greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was very happy when I heard from you. Thanks and God bless you. I pray that God will continue to increase you spiritually and materially. Pastor Lamo, I got your note together with the gospel literature you sent to me. God bless you immensely. Please, I need more literature like Another Pearl Harbor, Love and Affection, How to Have God's Life Living in You, together with some Holy Bibles and other world newsletters. The materials will be distributed to brethren who have been thirsting for them. Moreover, I want to use this medium to indicate and register my interest as one of the distributors of your literature, magazines, and Bibles in Anambra State, Nigeria. I have observed that souls who made use of these materials are doing exploits for Christ. I will not forget to thank you for the Messiah book you sent. It has blessed my soul so much. Once more, thanks a bunch. Warmest greetings to all in the body of Christ who work tirelessly with you to see that souls are won for our Redeemer. Remain blessed in the Lord. I remain comfort from Anambra State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. I just thank and praise the Lord for all the distributors throughout the world that are distributing this literature, because they all testify that whenever people read them, they see that they get powerful in the Lord and they start doing exploits. Amen?
Amen.
We've got crews all over the United States and all over the world. Right now, we just send out troops to all throughout Montana and Wyoming and Colorado. And we've got crews out in some of the other places. I just can't even keep track of them. We went to New Mexico. We've got them in Los Angeles, New York, and many other towns. So many that we just can't name them all. Now, so I was mentioning that the Lord had two different essences. He was the Son of Man, and He was also the Son of God. He was the Son of Man because He was out of the seed of David. There's a long lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way from Adam to Mary. And she was also, so David was also from the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the Lion from the tribe of Judah. He wasn't out of the seed of David to be the Son of God, because David was not God. David, King David, was a man. Therefore, Christ, according to the flesh, to Christ's flesh, came out of the seed of David to be, for the purpose of being, the Son of Man. That's John 3:14. In the four Gospels, the Lord referred to Himself as the Son of Man 78 times. That's in the four Gospels alone. He was a type. He typified Himself as the bronze serpent. That was a type, figure, symbol, or figure of the bronze serpent, spoken of in Numbers 21, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And in John 3:14, the Lord Jesus Himself said, quote, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So when people look at Christ, the serpent, the evil devil, will not send your soul to hell. He won't be able to poison you. Now, Christ has no poison in Him whatsoever, but we do. But if we look upon Him, if we get our eyes off of television and all the elements of this world, The Bible tells us that the Lord, as the Son of Man, really was a serpent, and only a serpent in form. Not a real serpent, but in form, or a figure, or in likeness. Not a serpent so far as having poison in himself. Bearing the likeness of a serpent, or the serpent, like us, like the likeness of human flesh, or of sin, because our flesh is filled with sin and it has to be washed away in the blood of Jesus. And then we have to be baptized in water. Now, as I said before, the blood that came out of Jesus' side when the centurion pierced him in the side, blood and water came out. Well, the water, the blood takes away sins. The Bible says that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Now, the water that came out is the water of separation. You can find that in the Old Testament even. So the flesh is what it was. So Satan saw Jesus come into this world in the flesh, and he thought, man, I overthrew the first two humans, and therefore had overthrown the entire human race. Now here's God come in the flesh. The flesh is so weak, but he didn't realize that the power of God was in that flesh. And thank God for Jesus not committing one sin. And by doing so, he shows us that human flesh can live a perfect life by having the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in you, the Spirit of God. So Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says that Christ bore the likeness of the flesh, our flesh, the flesh of sin. And so Satan looks at us and says, I can destroy you too, because I destroyed Adam and Eve and I overthrew the entire human race. But because Christ died, resurrected, and ascended into the kingdom of heaven, now when we call upon him to wash us in the blood and we're sorry for sinning and give us the power not to sin, enter into us, Jesus, that's what happens. He gives us the same power that was in himself. That is to resist Satan, to mortify the flesh. John 1:14 says, first we'll go John 1. It says, in the beginning God was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then John 1:14 says, the Word, which is God, became flesh, because flesh is a negative term, and it looks negative to Satan as well. And it is negative if we don't have Christ in us, if we don't become God men and women. We can't change our being a man or a woman, but we certainly can become God in the flesh, and we can have power over sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave by having Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in us. Because flesh is a negative term. In the Orient, the translation of the word flesh in the this verse is the word for body, human body. But the Bible tells us definitely that it is the flesh. It's the body too. Okay, Christ, as the Word of God, which is God, he became flesh. Isn't that something? He came down from eternity into a human being so that he could keep all the commandments and so that he could die on the cross and shed the blood that we need to have him shed for us, so that we could have all of our sins taken away, and for him to show us that we need the water also, which separates us. We need the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the power to mortify the flesh and also to be able to keep the commandments until the end. Then the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:3 gave us a definition of what this means. Christ is the Word of God, became flesh in the likeness of the flesh of sin. And in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul tells us how helpless we would be and that we are until Christ delivers us from the power of sin. Now, he didn't save us so that we could go on sinning. We already heard that from the book of Revelation, that, you know, if you sin, or if you take anything away from the Bible, you try to change the Bible, God's going to blot you out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to take away any entrance into the city, the holy city in the kingdom of heaven. By reading the Bible carefully, we can see that there are three huge, ugly things involved with flesh. These three things are sin, Satan, and the world. So we can't get into heaven with having Satan still in us, or sin in us, or any of the world in us. So we've got to get our eyes off of the world. The Lord said, love not the world. Amen? That's Amen. A commandment. Amen?
Amen?
And if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. The cosmos, the satanic system, which is the world system, that's Satan's tripart or four-part system. Satan, the false prophet in Rome, it's a one-world government, and the which is the beast, and the media. So the satanic, that's the satanic system, the satanic machine, the flesh, sin, Satan in the world. Flesh, sin, Satan in the world are four in one. God is three in one. He's triune. And with us as his bride, that makes it four also. Amen?
Amen.
There's the unholy four and the holy four. Amen?
Amen.
And let me tell you for sure that the holy four overpowers the unholy four.
Amen.
God is triune. Three in one. Now, and with us, it's four. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the bride. Now, Satan has become four in one. That's sin. In the world, come from Satan, and Satan today is in our flesh. I've said before that Christ became a man in the likeness of the flesh of sin. This fact indicates that he was indirectly involved with sin. Now remember, not directly, but indirectly involved with sin. Satan in the world, yet not in reality, just in the likeness Jesus was. Paul, who was very strong in the deeper truths of the Word of God, said in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 21, him who did not know sin, he was made sin on our behalf, indirectly sin. In other words, he became or was made sin. Well, he had to die for us, so he didn't sin. But God said, okay, if you'll die for all humanity, well, then you will take the penalty on the behalf of all humanity, that we might become, if we keep the commandments of the Lord, the righteousness of God. And we're the righteousness of God if Christ, our righteousness, is living and working in us, if he's living his life out in us. But if he isn't, you know, it's one thing to know the Word of God, but to live the Word of God is something a lot different. Only if we're in him and he is in us all the time. The Apostle John said that Christ as God became flesh. And Paul had the boldness to say that God made Christ sin. He typified him as sin. Christ is the one who knows no sin. He had nothing to do with sin. But God made this one who had nothing to do with sin. He made him sin. We can see a picture of this in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, with the children of Israel in the wilderness. What they did is they offended God, and he sent serpents among them to bite them, to poison them, to kill them. This is the way God operates. That's why he's sending earthquakes all over the world, tsunamis, pestilence. And remember, folks, pestilence is sickness, disease, infirmities, and so on. And what it is because they're sinning and they're believing in all these false religions, which the Lord has warned us about five times in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. These people, when they were the Jews, when they were crying out to God, he told Moses to make a bronze serpent and lift it up on a pole. Everyone who looked upon this bronze serpent, which was biting them, I mean, it was a type or a symbol of that, those snakes, those serpents that were biting them, if they look upon the bronze serpent, which is a type of Jesus, they would not die. So this is telling us in the Old Testament to look on Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And who is Jesus but the Word of God?
Amen.
Remember, the Word became flesh,
amen,
and dwelt among us. And if they would look upon this serpent, they would not die, but they would live. This bronze serpent was in the form of biting serpents, the form of biting serpents, but without the poison. So look at Jesus, and the poison goes away. The Lord says that there'd be all kinds of poisonous food in the last days, and that's why he wants us to pray over our food before we eat. You never know what's in there. There's botulism and all sorts of things in the world today that are poisonous. He doesn't mean that you can go and just take poison knowing you're eating poison. But, you know, everything, the beef and all the different animals and chickens and everything is filled full of hormones and medicines and all kinds of poisonous things. Just pray over it and ask the Lord to bless it and make it for the nourishment of your body. So Jesus, this bronze serpent was in the form of a biting serpents, but without the poison. Such a serpent, in the form of a serpent, but without the poison, became their Savior. So if you look upon Christ and keep your eyes on him, keep your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his beautiful face. Amen?
Amen.
Look at him. You know, he died for our sins, and he became sin for us to deliver us from the poison of the devil, the serpent. So the devil came and visited Adam and Eve, or Eve in the garden, and he was a serpent. And so Satan came in the form of a serpent, but when you believe the serpent with the poison in it, well, then you're going to go to hell in the lake of fire. But because the Savior became their deliverer, if you look upon the Lord, this bronze serpent delivered them from poison by imparting life to them. In John 3:14, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed that he was the reality of that bronze serpent in the wilderness, indicating that when he was in the flesh, he was in the likeness of the flesh of sin, which likeness is equal to the form of the bronze serpent, which did not have the poison of the serpent. Verse 15 goes on to say that whoever believes into Christ will receive eternal life, that there's no Satan in you if you just have Christ in you, because Christ is not going to live in you if you let the devil live in you as well. If you let the world, sin, Satan, or the world, or your flesh rule you, Well, then you're not going to be able to receive eternal life. You have to receive Christ as the bronze serpent. There's no poison in whatsoever. And if you do that, you're going to remember that Christ became sin for us without the poison. And you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes into Christ will receive eternal life, and they will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's making Christ sin is a very deep and a bothering point in the entire Bible. His being made sin includes all sins, every sin that has ever been committed. So therefore, anybody, it doesn't make any difference what sin you've committed. If you do it, if you come to the Lord and receive Him and get that all that poison out of you by the blood of Jesus and receive the water of separation, well, then you've already got a good start there. During the last 3 hours of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross, in the eyes of God, Christ was made sin. So He was judged by God. It was, and even some people say forsaken, but the Lord knew He came to do that. And it wasn't only Christ on the cross in Him, but it was the entire Godhead. So far as man was concerned, he was forsaken by God. But the Spirit of God was in Him. God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 27:45, chapter 27, verses 45 and 46. And note verse 45 also. Note it very well. God made Him sin to die for us sinners in the form and the likeness of the serpent without the poison of the serpent. If He had had the poison, He could not have been our Redeemer. There couldn't be any sin in Jesus. There wasn't. And so that we can trust Him, that His blood is the only detergent in the entire universe that can take away our sins. Now, there isn't any other, there's no false prophet that can say this. Only Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
There's no life in anyone else. Also, if He had not been in the likeness of the serpent, He could not have been our Redeemer. He had to be the serpent in the likeness of a serpent, but without, again, the venom or the poison. Then He could be our Redeemer. This is a simple explanation so that you can realize that Christ became flesh to be indirectly involved with sin, only in the likeness of the flesh of sin, but not in the reality of sin. He bore the likeness of the serpent, the likeness of the flesh, and the likeness of sin without the venom or the poison of the serpent. Romans 8:3b. Have you got it there? Can I read it real fast? The second part of verse 3. Read the whole verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh.
Yeah, because the law cannot save a person's soul. And we can't keep the law without Christ living in us. But when the entire Godhead is living in us, for heaven's sake, God is lifting up the whole world by His Spirit. So when the Spirit of God enters into us, then we're more than capable of keeping the commandments. Okay, so God never took the law away. The moral law must be lived out and continued to be lived out to the end. Read it again.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Right. Now, so the sin is condemned in the flesh if we have Christ living in us with his Father by the Spirit. It's condemned. It's over with. You don't have to worry about that. Amen?
Amen.
Just keep the commandments. So in this sense, his becoming flesh caused him to be indirectly related to sin. Satan and the world. Satan and the world and sin. His becoming related to sin is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. His being related to Satan is seen in Hebrews 2:14. This verse shows that Christ destroyed Satan by partaking of blood and flesh. He became flesh and blood, just like we are. Now, some false prophets tell you, or some uneducated preachers will tell you, that he had a different kind of blood than we do. But no, he had to show us that a human being with real human blood, genuine human blood and flesh, could keep all the commandments by having the Spirit of God in him. And he said that the same thing will happen to us, that we'll have the same power that he has. And even in the last days, we would do greater things than him because of the power of the Spirit in us. Amen?
Amen.
And because he took away our sins. By becoming the flesh, Christ crucified, destroyed Satan on the cross. When God Almighty judged Christ on the cross, Satan was destroyed in the flesh. Then John 12:31 tells us that when Christ was judged by God on the cross, the world was also judged by that one death, that one crucifixion on the cross. Four things were cleared up. The flesh is one, which was the fallen man, the fallen Adam, the first Adam. Christ became the last Adam. And sin, and number two, then number three, Satan, and then number four, the world. When I speak of Christ's human nature, I must absolutely have to be sure to understand all of these several points. That's all on this particular thought. Then we'll get into things later, which will be the other part of Christ, Christ's divine nature. In other words, his divine nature. So we got that all straight, hopefully, that he's the Son of Man, but then a lot of times he said he's the Almighty God as well. Amen?
Amen.
And he was asked, you know, Jesus, show us the Father. And he says, have I been so long with you that you don't know who I am? Is that what it is? Okay, well now we're going to get back into the second chapter of Judges. And Sharon, you want to start reading? What verse are we starting out at?
Verse 11.
Verse 11. All right, let's begin.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers.
Okay, now what do you think God is going to do? You see him pouring out his wrath on the world today because people are worshiping Buddha and Muhammad and the Pope and all these false religions. And you see tsunamis and earthquakes and all these different diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, and then people wonder what's going on. That's why the Lord sends people like myself to tell you, look, you know, wake up, know what's going on, because, you know, if you don't stop it, there's going to come a time where he said that things are going to get so bad, these great tribulations are going to be happening, that no flesh would be able to handle it. So he said he's going to shorten the time because of the elect people of the Lord, the ones that he has elected. Now, I'm not looking for your vote. I just want to be voted in by God. Amen?
Amen.
Because whether you elect me or not, you know, you elect these funny presidents and kings and all that sort of thing. That's just sad. Amen?
Amen.
That's real sad because, you know, what do you know anyway? The Bible says if you're not in Christ, you don't know anything. because you're dead. And the Bible says the dead know nothing. Now, you know, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm putting you down. The Word of God puts human flesh down.
Amen.
Because flesh is sin. And he says that if you're dead, if you're not made alive, if you're not raised from the dead by resurrection in Christ, then you're dead, and the dead, people that are dead, don't know anything. So don't say you know anything. I don't care how smart people build you up to be or how many degrees you have on your wall or how many trophies you've had. You're a human being, and you're going to die, and you're going to go out to meet the Lord. There's a couple of people just in the last few days. They were billionaires. This Leona Helmsley, she had $5 billion. I guarantee you she didn't take 1 cent with her. Amen?
Amen.
So what was she? Well, the newspaper, after all this money she made, they call her the Queen of Mean. Amen?
Amen.
What are they going to call you when you expire? Huh? Now, what have you done? You made a few records, or you won a few fistfights or something? Or you was able to get a ball in the hoop? Play basketball, yeah. Okay, or football. You carried that football down there, you broke your back and your legs, and you're crippled and everything. And what do you get? The glory or the praises of man. But what you better start looking for is to be honored by God. Amen? Because
Amen.
If you're not, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so go ahead, Sharon.
Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them.
Yeah, that's what people are. They're in all these false religions. They're following other gods, and look at what God's doing to the world. And this, he said, is just the beginning of sorrows, which you see today. And you can be running, and you can trust all these weather snappers, you know, they just say they're going to show you when there's a tsunami coming or something like that, or an earthquake. How do they predict that? Look at what happened in Peru, amen?
Amen.
They can't predict that, and even if they did, so what? There's going to come a time where you will not be able to run fast enough to get away from the great tribulation period, and you're going to be here. The false prophets are telling you, people, that you're going to be raptured out of it. That's funny. It would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. Okay? You're not going to, and it's better for you to get braced. Prepare your heart for these things that are happening. And prepare yourself to get strong. And you better physically get strong, too. Get into the gym and start eating the right things. And all you fat kids out there, you know, you're weak as a cat. You better start getting into the gym and working out and taking some healthy foods and stop eating all the junk foods and things that you see. Just because the Lord says, you know, that you can pray and get the poison taken out of these foods, if you're doing it deliberately, he won't do it. All right? So remember that. And get yourself, more than that, get yourself strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Get yourself saved, because it's going to hit more and more. All the time. The whole world is living in fear right now. But we don't have any fear at all, those of us that are born again of the Spirit, because we know we're saved and we don't worry about that. You know, you get into the book of Exodus and you'll see all these 10 major plagues that came down from God because they would not allow the Lord's people to worship God. Well, that's what this one world government is doing to those of us that want to worship God the right way. And so God is starting to pour out plagues. He wiped Egypt out, but he didn't, not one hair on the heads of the people that were of the Lord, the people that were the Jews, not one of their hair was hurt. Amen?
Amen.
He put them aside and says, I'm going to start pouring out my wrath on this country. And so you people keep saying it's Mother Nature, but God wants you to know it's him.
Amen.
All right? So thank God I haven't heard these newscasters say Mother Nature's really raising hell out there. It's God that's not raising hell. He's pouring out wrath on you so that you'll call on him for forgiveness and protection so that you don't go to hell. And see, hell is not a curse word. It is a town down in the pit of the earth, and so is the lake of fire. And so repent and believe the gospel. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about.
His chosen people, he put them in the hand of their enemies, and that's what God's doing right now to a lot of people. A lot of people are delivered into prison, you know, because they did wrong things. I was allowed to go to prison because the Lord knew that I'd preach the gospel in there to Muslims and all kinds of different religions in there, Catholics and all. And a lot of them didn't pay any attention, but I told them. And it's the same thing out in the world today. We're telling people, and people are starting to get saved. You can hear these letters, can't you? Mm-hmm. There's whole towns, whole villages getting saved from my literature. Because people can see that it's right out of the Bible. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left here.
He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies.
Yeah, that's his chosen people. And if you're his chosen people, and you decide to be part of the great falling away in the last days, what the Bible said would happen just before Jesus comes back to earth again, your God is going to turn you over to him. So he says, ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. They're offended at the word of God, and shall betray one another. Amen. And they're doing it, but a true Christian will never betray anybody, not even, for sure not their brother or sister, but not anybody. We're the only ones that you can trust, folks, okay? So, you know, make your choice. Then what?
Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil.
Doesn't matter what you try to do to get out of the persecution that God sends to you, you will not get out of it. Okay, then what?
As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed.
Yeah, are you greatly distressed today? You know you are. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now all nations are rising against nations, and there's earthquakes in diverse places, tsunamis, famines, everywhere in the world. And people are broke. Even China, that's making all the money that they're making, they're flooded now. And look at Oklahoma. Those people, that's supposedly the Bible Belt. And the Lord keeps hitting on them. There's something wrong over there, amen?
Amen.
Because that ain't Mother Nature, amen?
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
Nothing happens without God being involved with it, okay?
Amen.
Okay, and there's a reason for it. Okay, now, what else here? We've got, we're all out of time. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you know, we talked about the two natures. Now, for sure, you've got human nature. And a lot of you people can't seem to figure out how it is that you can get away from committing sin. And I've told you how, is to ask the divine nature, the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit, to enter you. And you'll have the power, and he'll give you that power to mortify your sinful flesh and give you the power to be an overcomer and a person that is able to continue on to the end. And the way you start out is to say this prayer to the Lord. This is just the starting line. And remember, you have to go clear around to the finish line. You have to continue on to the end. And if you stay in touch with us, we will definitely show you how to do that. And you people in Los Angeles that are coming against us from the Vatican and all these different places, you know, pay attention, because you're not anything other than human flesh, and God knows how to get you. Amen.
Amen.
So say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you, Lord, your divine nature, Jesus, with your Father by the Spirit into me, wash all my former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord and give him all the glory for this. And don't fail to continue on in the Word. Get that TV off and pick up your Bible and start reading it. And you'll see that there'll be enough. And keep listening to this broadcast. Now, Sharon, tell the folks in Radioland how to receive a copy of this program, for number 431.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful broadcast. And I'm here to sing for you now a song that a lot of people request. It's In These Last Days We Need the Lord to Stand By Us. And the name of this song is Stand By Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who rules wind and water? Stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost in that world, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Now who never lost in that world, stand by me.